All right. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that's the last week we have to watch that video. Been having nightmares for like a month. No, we're excited to be wrapping up our series, Ghosts of Christmas Past. The first week we had Pastor Dan Nichols from Cortland. Last week Kyle was here. And this week we get to be joined by Justin Bluer from Berean Bible Church in Green. So give him a warm welcome as he comes up to share with us to wrap the series.
Thank you so much, Pastor Josh. Good morning, Grace Point. Merry Christmas. Just got to ask first off, I got to know if it's friendly turf. Any Bills fans in the house? I knew this was a good church. I knew it. Anyone stay up late to watch the end of the game last night? Anybody else? I got to admit, I was there in person. And it was pandemonium. And no one obeys it when refs say don't throw snowballs. No one obeys that. More snowballs were thrown, but it was such a cool night. And I noticed about halfway through the game, I noticed something was happening. I was screaming at the top of my lungs, born and raised in Buffalo, crazy about the Bills. I was screaming at the top of my lung, and I realized my voice was leaving me. And I thought, it's one thing to go preach at Grace Point the next morning after getting home after 5 a.m. this morning, taking a power nap. It's one thing to do it without sleep. It's another thing to do it without a voice. So I used self-control, which I don't have a lot of, the second half, and tried my best to save a little bit of my voice for you as my Christmas gift. I got to tell you, just real quick, your pastor team is phenomenal. Pastor Tim, Pastor Josh, Pastor Kyle, you guys are blessed here at Grace Point. And I have searched high and low when it came to Pastor Kyle. Just as we've, you know, developed a friendship over the years, we've swapped in this pastor swap many times. And I've just searched high and low for one weakness of that guy. And I think I found it. He cheers for the wrong football team. So just a spiritual exhortation, don't give up praying for your pastor. God can change any heart. One day I believe God will change Kyle's heart. Don't give up praying for him. It could be this Christmas. Anyone excited for Christmas, by the way? Anyone excited? Well, that was overwhelming. Anyone know any kids that are excited for Christmas? Yeah, I have 5 little kids in our home from 4 to 13, and they are so excited. It is so fun to be a dad and to watch the excitement of kids. Anyone else enjoy being a parent? You're like, we're in church, gotta be honest. Okay, so I'll be honest too. I love being a parent, but there are moments. There are moments where I question, why did we do this? Why did we make them? There's one child that we have. A few years ago, she was just in a stage where mom and dad had migraines all the time. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? And her attitude was just sour, no matter what was going on, no matter what we did as a family. I mean, we could be having a great dinner, we could be doing a movie night, we could be doing something, and she would find a way to ruin it. And it was just so frustrating. Like, what is your problem? And I enjoy nicknames. I like calling people nicknames, and there was one day just a nickname that popped into my head, and then it popped out of my mouth, and I renamed her Toad. Somebody like, did I hear you right? Yeah, I mean, to me, it just fit. They're kind of rough around the edges. You don't tend to want to hang out with them. And that's how I felt, right? And so, I mean, it was just laughter at the table when I called her that, and it became her new nickname. But I noticed something as we began to use her new nickname. I noticed something in her eyes specifically. And it wasn't anger, which we commonly saw in her eyes. It wasn't annoyance, which we commonly saw. It was something else. I saw hurt. And I realized that my ingest nickname for her, that was actually kind of a pressure relief valve for me, it was wounding her. And I had to pull rank, and I had to ban the word toad from my house. You know, there's a saying, and I'd like you to finish it for me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but... Yes. Is this a lie or what? Words will never hurt me. This would be nice. I think most of us wished that this was true. But I think most of us have experienced the very opposite of this. We have experienced a word, a nickname, a label that hurt. And that thing stuck. And maybe years later, you can remember that name, that word that was said to you, and it still hurts. And maybe it's something that caused you to withdraw. Maybe it's something that caused you to become bitter. Maybe you distanced yourself from the person who called you that. And maybe to this day, there are walls you have put up because of the label that someone else put on you. And maybe what made it hurt more than anything is it might have been partly true. At least it felt true. And boy, there's a lot of labels and words. How about just a few? Maybe one of these you've heard in your life. How about being called a failure? Not good enough. Perfectionist. Too sensitive. A mistake. Boy, that stings. A loser. A liar. A loner. Insecure. Unloved. Introverted. Ugly. Hot-headed. Critical. Alone. Pathetic. Average. Annoying. Toad. I mean, the list goes on. You see, what's interesting is God actually says the very opposite of this. Here's what God says. He says the tongue has the power of life and death. The tongue has the power to build someone up or tear someone down. And we know this because we've experienced this. Some of us grew up with parents that used their tongues to build us up. They used their tongues to encourage us, to tell us the things that we could do and encourage us to follow Jesus. I had parents like that, and my parents are probably the biggest reason why I am who I am today. They spoke words of life to me. But some of you, that wasn't your experience. You had parents that spoke death to you, or grandparents, or teachers, or supposed friends, or classmates. And the things they said to you, the things they called you, rather than motivate you and inspire you, man, they have torn you down. And you live with their words ringing in your ears. The tongue has the power of life and death. This is a Christmas series that's about the ghosts of Christmas past. These are the things that haunt us from our past. And you've seen offenses and unforgiveness. You've seen shame being taught. But today we're going to look at the ghost of labels. Words that can go with us through life. And we have a really hard time outrunning them. And we're going to learn today something about labels. We're going to actually look at a story in Scripture that maybe you've never seen before. And if you've seen it, maybe you've never thought of the significance of this story. I want to thank Pastor Craig Rochelle, who compiled this series that we've adapted for this church rotation that we're doing. And his message on this passage really impacted me. And I want to share some of this with you today of how it's impacted me. So if you'll turn in your copy of Scripture to Genesis 35. So if you don't know where Genesis is, open your Bible to the very beginning and you're going to find a book called Genesis. And then you just kind of flip forward to chapter 35. And if you want to use an electronic Bible and tap your way there, I'm going to use the NLT. So if you use NLT, we'll be word for word as I go through this story. Let me actually begin by giving an overview of the backstory of what we're about to read. So this story that we're about to read is about a guy named Jacob and his family. Jacob, earlier in life, if you read the account of his life in Genesis, his story goes like this. He was smitten by a young lady. That's how a lot of stories begin. Some of your stories go that way, right? You're smitten by a young lady. There was this young lady named Rachel who was lovely. Scripture says she was beautiful, she was lovely. And so he made a deal with her dad. Said, I'll work 7 years for you to earn the right to become her husband and to win her hand in marriage. And the dad agreed to that arrangement. The only problem is the dad was a trickster, and he thought his older daughter should be married off first. And so at the wedding day, he actually tricked him and married his oldest daughter off to him. His oldest daughter was named Leah, and Scripture describes her as having weak eyes. So her sister was lovely and beautiful, and she had dull eyes. I guess that's kind of like saying, at least she had a great personality. And so Jacob is devastated, and he makes a new deal with the dad, saying, listen, that's not who I love. I love Rachel, and so if I work 7 more years, will you give me the right daughter? And so that was the arrangement that happened. But even after that came to pass, it still wasn't fairy tale, because Rachel and Jacob were unable to have a kid. And so it's a journey that many have walked, some of you have walked, that struggle with infertility. There's few pains as great as wanting a child and not being able to have one. And that was their story. They wanted a kid, they couldn't have one. And then by miracle, one day, she was able to conceive, and she had a son. And somehow, miraculously, God opened her womb again, and she was able to conceive again, and she was pregnant again. And that's kind of where our story picks up, is her second pregnancy. Look at verse 16, and we're going to continue from here. And we're going to learn in this story when you should name something else. Verse 16, leaving Bethel, Jacob and his clan moved on toward Ephrath. But Rachel went into labor while they were still some distance away. By the way, those of you who have had babies, isn't that always how it works? You're never near the hospital when that time comes, right? Lord's is always a half hour away. What in the world's going on? Her labor pains were intense. So here's the problem that the story is setting up that we may not think is a big deal, but in that day, if your labor went sideways, if things didn't go well, the mother's life was at risk, because there was no such thing as C-sections back then. So there's a tremendous amount of tension in the story right here that the first century and early readers of this would have known. Like, uh-oh, this isn't about to go well. Her labor pains were intense. That's a big red flag. Verse 17, after a very hard delivery, the midwife finally exclaimed, don't be afraid, you have another son. So in the midst of all the chaos and the agony, the screams of agony and the cries of this mom giving birth, and it's not working out the way it should, in the midst of all of it, the midwife kind of cuts through all the clutter and the noise and the scary fear and says, hey, everybody, it's a boy. Right? And so there's this moment of excitement. But then verse 18, Rachel was about to die. But with her last breath, she named the baby. And how meaningful this is, right? The last words that are coming out of her mouth is the name of her new baby. She names the baby Ben-Oni, which means son of my sorrow. The baby's father, however, called him Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. Now, Rachel is dying. She's holding her newborn son. With her last breath, she gets to name him. And in this last moment of her life, she gets pretty creative. Has anyone noticed that parents, especially today, are getting highly creative with their kids' names? Some of you that work in education or kids' ministry, you just have no clue anymore, do you? Like, is this made up? I don't know. Is this another language? I don't know what this name is. And so names, and not a slam on parents being creative. Like, it's cool to be creative. You name your kid whatever you want. And it's kind of fun. Some names that are becoming more popular that I just think are kind of fascinating. There's some boys' names. How about this one? Arrow. Blade. I know, right? Flint. I mean, is there a theme going on here? Are parents getting more aggressive, calling their boys weapons? What is it?
Shotgun.
Oh, boy. I mean, their boys, if their boys are violent kids, they're going to know why, right? How about some female names that really strike me as unique, but they're on the female names list now, is becoming more popular? Messiah. No pressure, honey. How about this one? Mulan. I think Disney actually gets a royalty for everyone named Mulan. How about this one? Duh. I don't know that. Any guess how you pronounce? Da-a. What was someone over here? You say the dash. Da-dasha. That works. Is that on your list, Josh? Yeah. Dadasha, I like that. I have no idea. The hyphenated names are actually becoming more popular, as you've probably seen. So Rachel, in her final moments, gets creative, uses a hyphenated name, and calls her little boy Ben-Oni. Ben-Oni. Right? And Ben meant son, and Oni meant sorrow. So she's calling her little boy son of my sorrow. Now, is this understandable why she would name her son Ben-Oni? Absolutely. She's looking at this beautiful little boy, realizing she's never even going to get a chance to feed him. She's never going to get a chance to see him take his first steps. She's never going to see him grow up. She's never going to see his kids, her grandkids. She'll never see. She'll never hug or hold him again. So it makes sense that in this moment of grief, she calls him son of my sorrow. Well, she's not the only one in the room hurting. There's a guy who worked 14 years to win her hand in marriage who's losing his best friend. And he watches this happening and he hears her say, "Here's my boy, Ben-Oni." And dad's like, "No, no, honey. No, we're not going to go with that. We're not doing that." Because what's true in this moment, it's not going to be true forever. And Jacob took what was, and he named him something different. Now, Jacob had a little bit of experience with renaming. Years earlier, he had this crazy incident happen, and it's recorded in the book of Genesis, where he was at night sleeping, and he woke up, and he's wrestling. He doesn't really know who he's wrestling with, and eventually he realizes it's a divine being. He thinks it's an angel. And as the wrestling match progresses, he finds out it's actually not even an angel. Who is it? He's wrestling God. And it's this bizarre wrestling match. And during the wrestling match, he's like, "I'm not going to let you go till you bless me." And God says to him, "Here's how I'm going to bless you. I'm going to relabel you. I'm going to rename you." See, his parents named him Jacob. Do you know what the word Jacob means? Liar. I don't know what happened at the birth for them to look at their little boy and like, "Oh, he's so cute. Let's name him Liar." Right? Deceiver. Liar was his name. And he lived up to it. He earned that name. But God says, "I'm going to rename you. You will now be called Israel." And the name Israel means my God prevails. My God wins. And Jacob loved his new name. He loved going from liar to my God prevails. And he loved and owned that name the rest of his life. In fact, the place where he wrestled, he renamed, God had just renamed him, he renamed that place Penuel, which means the face of God. Because here I have seen the face of God and I live. And so he has some experience with renaming, and in this moment, the guy who himself has been renamed renames his little boy. He says, "We're not going with Ben-Oni, honey. We're not going with son of my sorrow. I'm going to call him Benjamin, son of my right hand." Now that day, your right hand was your hand of blessing, your hand of strength. Even today, if you call someone your right-hand man, It's a similar idea, that they're important and they're special to you. And he looks at his little boy and he says, no, you're not going to be son of my sorrow. You're going to be son of my right hand. And what some are going to look at, and they're going to see his tragedy, the day he lost his best friend. Jacob's like, no, I'm choosing that when I look at my boy, I'm not going to see a tragedy. I'm going to see a triumph the day my wife gave me her best gift. I'm going to see a treasure. I'm calling him Benjamin. My friends, you and I don't get to choose what comes into our life. Jacob didn't either. But we can choose what we call it. Because words have the power of life and death. And labels matter. If there's a label that you've been given, or maybe you've even given it to yourself, maybe it's time to ditch that label and name it something different. And here's why. God's power is bigger than your past. Does anyone believe that this morning? God's power is bigger than your past. What was true about you in the past, in a moment of time, doesn't have to be true about you today or tomorrow. God's power is bigger than your past. Jacob looks at his little boy. He's like, you're not forever going to be known as the one that my wife died giving birth to. You're going to be known as the son of my right hand. This day will be a day that I give you a label that you will be proud to wear. Now, here's the crazy part of labels. Labels, like I mentioned earlier, they're often well-earned. They often resonate and stick because they fit us. Whether it's some characteristic of our height or our hair color or our lack of hair or whatever the case may be, we get labels and they stick because they often are true. And often our labels are descriptors of our personalities. I mean, I think... Let me just put it this way. Anyone in here have a personality? Okay, I do too, right? And so my personality, while it has strengths, it has a lot of flaws and weaknesses. I am a goal-oriented, A-type extrovert, which means patience is not my jam, right? Which means I tend to do things without thinking. I like to go fast. I like to be reckless. I like to be impulsive. I like to go to Bills games the night before I'm supposed to be here with you. Right? Don't always think things through. That's me. That's who I am. And then I became a pastor. And I realized that if I continue with this impulsivity and this recklessness, I actually burn out the very team and people God gave me to work with. I have got to find a way to move past this label. I have got to find a way to move past this description of who I am. And by God's grace, over time, He has helped to refine some of my rough edges. He has helped to increase my patience and self-control. I stopped screaming yesterday at a game I wanted to scream at just for you. Right? He's helped to increase self-control. You know why? Because God is growing something in me called love. And the very first description of love in 1 Corinthians 13 is that love is patient. And that's not native to my personality or natural to who I am. And it's something God is working on and growing in me. And so as He works on that and as He tries to grow that in me, impulsive and reckless, it now describes occasionally what I do, but it no longer defines who I am. Because God's power is bigger than my past. His power is even bigger than my personality. So what about you? Like, what's the label you just can't shed because it just fits you so perfect? Or what's the thing that you were called that still follows you and it still haunts you, and the reason it really irks you is because it's partly true? How do you get rid of that ghost of Christmas past? Maybe it's time for a renaming. Because see, Jacob wasn't the only one who renamed in Scripture. God actually did it repeatedly and not just with Jacob. In fact, God renames not just people. There's a fascinating passage in Isaiah 62. It says this: "Never again will you be called the forsaken city or the desolate land." Boy, you read that and you're like, is he talking about Binghamton? "Your new name will be the city of God's delight and the bride of God." Read the yellow with me. "For the Lord delights in you." What a word of life. "And will claim you as his bride." He's talking to his chosen city, Jerusalem. Like, hey, I know you're forsaken, and I know you're desolate, and I know no one wants to move there. And I know everyone wants to move away from there. But someday, I'm going to rename you the city of my delight. Now, I was joking a little bit about Binghamton, but at the same time, all of us upstate New York, central New York, Binghamton area folks, know that everyone mocks us for living here. We mock ourselves for living here. We question sometimes why we still live here. And there's this label or these labels that happen when you live in a snow-filled, sunless place. And yet God is a God who masters at taking what others look at and tear down and say, someday you'll be my delight. God loves working in forsaken places. And he loves using forgotten people. Because that's the kind of God he is. So he renames people, he renames places. Look at this from 2 Corinthians 5. "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun." Do you know that if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, if you're his kid, you are a new person. God's power is bigger than our past, because he literally throws our past out and he says, you are being remade, recreated into a new person. Is that awesome? That was overwhelming again. Is that awesome? That's incredible. But check this out. It gets even better. John 1. "But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." What a label. What a label that I don't deserve. What a label that I'm going to have to grow into, because it doesn't always fit me well. I am a son of Almighty God. I am the son of the King of Kings, creator of heaven and earth. I don't always act like it, and I never deserve it. But that is who I am. And that is a label God has given to me and given to all of his kids, his sons and his daughters. Man. So here's what's interesting about this whole renaming business. God even had a really good friend by the name of Simon. And Simon, he had some issues. And one day, Jesus decided, I'm going to give him a new nickname. And Jesus takes this guy who's reckless and impulsive and is always sticking his foot in his mouth, and Jesus is like, I've got a name for you. Rock. And all the other guys in the room went, Simon? You're going to call Simon Rock? Cephas, Peter. You're going to call him Petros? You're going to call him Rock? Seriously? I don't think you know him yet, Jesus. He's anything but a rock. The guy's a kite. Sometimes Jesus gives us labels that we have to grow into. But they're words of life, picturing a new future for his kids that he's in the process of transforming. Guess what? Simon Peter, man, he struggled being a rock. You read the story of his time while Jesus was alive, and the guy was truly all over the place. Always saying the wrong thing, wrong place at the wrong time. In fact, he's the only person in Scripture that Jesus ever called a devil. And he called it to his buddy Simon, the rock. But guess what? As time went on, he grew into his name. At the end of his life, he was captured, put on trial, because he refused to renounce his faith in his friend Jesus. And his final day on earth, He was condemned to die by crucifixion. And he stood up, according to church history. He stood up, he said, I can't die the same way my Savior died. I don't deserve it. Kill me a different way. So he said, fine, we'll crucify you upside down. And that day the rock became a rock who died upside down for his Savior. Sometimes God gives us names that take a little bit of growing into. We have something hanging in our kitchen to remind us of this. It's this poster. What if a kid's most annoying trait is their biggest talent in disguise? Right? We've got a bossy kid. Anyone else? You don't have to raise your hand. Happens to be our oldest, right? Our bossy kid. Boy, God has made her to be a leader. Right? And we see the weaknesses all the time of her bossiness, but with God's help, she will grow into a phenomenal leader one day. Right? We have a little girl who, yeah, she's a liar. Right? We didn't call her Jacob because she was a girl. But she's a liar. And you know what? She was describing to us earlier this year a dream that she had. And she's describing this dream. And like 5 minutes later, she describes this dream. And I'm like, that could be turned into a movie. That was amazing. And then I realized she didn't have that dream. She just wanted to tell us a story. God's going to harness that and take her from a little girl who struggles with lying to a little girl who uses her creative mind for His glory. Right? We have a little kiddo in our home who's very sensitive. You look at him sideways and he'll burst into tears. And he is the most caring kid that I know. And God can take the very things that we label and God can use them for His good. See, you and I have an enemy who hates us, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and who tells lies about us and lies to us all the time. But you and I have a God who wants to take what Satan is using for bad and he wants to use it for good. And he will. And he does every single day. Now listen. And I'm not just getting choked up because the Bills won. Sorry about that. Here's some truth. If you're God's kid this morning, if you're God's kid, you are forgiven. You are transformed. You are made new. You are given a fresh start. You are given a new life. And you matter to God. And in that moment, in that story in Genesis 35, where you have a dad lovingly looking at his little boy as his wife is holding him and dying and giving him the name, Son of My Sorrow, he says, no. No, I don't want you to forever be remembered as the Son of My Sorrow. You are the Son of My right hand. And he renamed his little boy a name that his boy would grow into. Son of My right hand. You and I don't get to choose what comes into our life. But by God's grace and with His help, we can choose what we call it. Now listen, maybe this morning it's not as much about a label that you've been called. Maybe you, like me, struggle with labeling others. Right? What seemed like a harmless nickname for my daughter, Toad, turned into a weapon that hurt her. And God says one day He will call us to account for every careless word that we speak. Someday I'll have to give an account to Him why I nicknamed my little girl a word that hurt her. I'll have to give an account to that. God wants us to use our tongues to speak words of life, not words of death. Our words have the power to motivate and to shape, and they also have the power to tear down. So maybe there's some confession that some of us need to do. God, forgive me. Forgive me for using my tongue to hurt one of your kids. Forgive me for the label or labels that I've given someone. That might have been funny in the moment, but it hurt them. It wounded them. It's tearing them down. Every night when we tuck our kids in, our youngest, the sensitive one, the caring one, he gives me a hug and a kiss, and he leans into my ear and he says, "You're the best daddy in the whole wide world." And then he goes and gives my wife a kiss and a hug, and he says, "You're the best mommy in the whole wide world." And then he gives his brother a hug and kiss. No matter what his brother did to him that day, which often was something totally obnoxious, he'll lean into his brother and say, "You're the best brother in the whole wide world." And he goes to each one of his sisters and he hugs them. He says, "You're the best sister in the whole wide world." We look forward to bedtime for him because he's speaking words of life. We know he's going to put a smile on our face. And if a little four-year-old is gifted by God with the power of the tongue to speak words of life, how much more should I be able to do that to the people around me? Words of life. No more Ben Onis. Maybe a few more Benjamins. Because we have a God who delights in breaking labels. In fact, I'm going to go one step further. The Christ of Christmas died to break our old labels. And His power is greater than our past. Would you bow with me this morning? Now listen. Maybe there's some confessing in this moment that you need to have. You and God. Right? The tongue has the power of life and death. He will hold us to account for every careless word. Maybe there's some confessing, like me, that you need to do this morning. God, forgive me for using my tongue to make that barb comment, to give that sarcastic nickname. Maybe there's someone you need to go to this week and give them a Christmas gift of a confession. Tell them you're sorry. Tell them you're no longer going to use that word, that label, that nickname on them again. And give them a new one. One that will build them up and motivate them. Maybe this morning you have been on the receiving end of that label, and there's a part of you that's broken. There's a part of you that feels like failure. Like you'll never get beyond that. I want to tell you, with God's help, your future can be different from your past. Maybe you say, "Yeah, but if only the people around me knew." Listen, God knows. Nothing in your past shocks God. He loves you anyway. He died for you anyway. He offers you a fresh start anyway. It cost His only Son His only life. But praise God, death couldn't hold Him and the grave couldn't keep Him. And He lives to break you free. So I want to pray God's truth over you this morning as a person loved by God, that you would receive His love and forgiveness today. I want to pray for you fellow believers, that you would know that you are treasured and loved. As much as Jacob looked at his little son and treasured him and called him son of my right hand, you are the son or the daughter of God. He loves you. He treasures you. You are the kid of His right hand. Would you let that truth sweep over your soul today? Because words do have the power to make or break. Words hurt, but words also speak life. Thank you, God, for speaking life to us. In closing, if you would watch this music video by Matthew West and maybe see and hear what we've talked about this morning.
Hello, my name is Regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. every single day of your life. I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. Oh, these are the voices. Oh, these are the lies. And I have believed them for the very last time. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I've been saved, I've been changed, I have been set free. Amazing grace is the song I sing. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King.
What a privilege to be children of the one true King. Amen? Thank you for being here today. As you leave, maybe find a few people, speak a compliment, a word of life to them. No toad calling. Have an awesome Christmas. Thank you for having me. God bless you.